This is WAIF in Cincinnati. Hi, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
We are
the Chris.
Now, 3 minutes ago, you said we are your radio pals.
No,
You jumped all over me.
We are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
You jumped all over me. You said we're going to do that radio pals thing.
We're going to start all over.
Is it going to be Radio Pals or the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
It'll be the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. That one's on you, Brandon. That's on you.
Here we go. Ready?
All right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
We are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number here is 749-1444. That phone number is 749-1444. In case you've never tuned in before, here's what we do. Me and Rob sit here. We give each other a bunch of crap. And we take calls from people. People like you. People in our little corner of America who want to talk to Chris and Rob. Get something off their chest, because we are your radio pals, aren't we, Rob?
We sure are.
We're going to start off tonight's program by talking to a gentleman from Sycamore Township who jumped off of the top of the Carew Tower, the tallest building in the Queen City.
How can we talk to him if he's dead?
He's not dead. He had a parachute on when he did it, and he got in a lot of trouble for it, too. He was charged with inducing panic and disorderly conduct.
We have him on the phone now?
Yeah, say hello.
Hello, Tim.
Hi, guys.
Is this Tim?
This is the Rock and Roll Sky Punk, man.
Tim Werling, the Rock and Roll Sky Punk?
That'd be
me. How'd you come up with that name, Sky Punk?
It was a gift.
Who gave it to you?
Came up with it.
Who came up with it?
Yeah, there's a story behind it, actually.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Back in, like, the 80s, a man named Chris Carr was skydiving at the airport I skydive at. He's some pretty radical dude. He died in 1988. Due to an auto accident, and
that's a pretty uplifting story so far, Tim.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, actually. And then I came to the airport a couple years ago, and I just been bouncing around the place, and I resemble this man so much. He used to be called Sky Punk, so they call me Sky Punk Revisited. They think he's reincarnated in me, so the Sky Punk's best friend just kind of gave me the nickname, I guess.
So do you sit around and listen to the Germs and the Undertones
and
Stiff Little Fingers a lot?
No.
What kind of music do you listen to?
A lot of Stone Temple Pilots. You know, this rock and roll, something that fires me up, you know? My blood pumping.
All right. What do you listen to right before you jump off of buildings like the Carew Tower?
Stone Temple Pilots. Something hit.
You know, when I listen to the Stone Temple Pilots, I want to jump off high buildings too.
Okay, so what's the story? You decide to go up to the top of the Carew Tower and jump off, and you're wearing a parachute?
Yes.
Why'd you do that?
It was my birthday. I was celebrating my life. My life's been going so damn good, you know. I've just been so happy.
Now, how many buildings have you jumped off?
Four.
Four? Right here in Cincinnati?
Actually, just two buildings, but four times.
Which two buildings?
Fifth Third and Crew Tower.
Wow, what was it like jumping off Fifth Third?
That was pretty fun, man. Let me tell you, did it twice in 1 week.
Well, you gotta pull your parachute the second you jump.
Pretty much, you know, you got about 1,000, 2,000, then dump. The second time I did it, I hummed it pretty low, but it was a better jump actually.
Now, you got busted for inducing panic when everybody saw you coming. They went, "Oh my God, it's a Sky Punk! Ah, run for your life! Ah, it's a Sky Punk!"
Actually, not too many people saw me off the Crew Tower.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What time was it when you leaped?
9:30 in the morning.
And it wasn't busy downtown at 9:30 in the morning?
Just a little bit. Not too bad. A lot of people settled down in. The Fifth Third buildings is when everybody sees me, because I landed at Fountain Square both times.
So, when are you going to jail?
Not going to jail, man.
You got off?
Oh, totally.
Oh, that's cool.
They dropped off both charges and gave me some little bitty minor misdemeanors.
Now, who pressed charges? Who are the idiots that pressed charges?
The city.
Now, so these are the same morons that go around trying to bust the Pink Pyramid are now trying to bust guys for jumping off buildings.
The same morons that bust censored art exhibits.
The same guys don't want people to be able to ask you for a quarter. They have nothing better to do but hassle these people.
That's right. Nothing better to do. Plus, Janet Reno was in town, and I didn't know that.
Oh, so they thought maybe you were going to, like, Sky Punk and land on her, huh?
No, I...
She'd have been a big target.
I just think that they were more of the police around.
Do you ever get nervous before you jump off of a big tall building?
A little bit. The Crew Tower a lot, because it's I honestly, crew tire is one of the most dangerous base jumps there is.
Well, aren't you afraid once your chute opens that the current or the wind might carry into the side of the building and bust you up? Or that, I know that the crew tower's got some
squirrely stuff.
Yeah, some squirrely stuff sticking out of it. Aren't you afraid you might jump and fall in one of those and break your neck?
Nah, because at the top of the crew tower, there's a big old flag. We call that a windsock on base jumping, and you just make sure that thing's standing still.
Now, okay, here, okay, how high is a crew tower?
574 feet.
Now, well, how many stories is that?
I don't know.
So it's, we'll say, 25, 30 stories?
Oh, it's going to be more than that.
57 stories.
About 45 stories.
So you're going up for 45 stories. You're riding an elevator with your parachute for 45 stories, and nobody's getting on the elevator looking at you kind of suspiciously?
Well, actually, what's funny is there's these two lovely older ladies. They weren't old. They were just older. And they were in the elevator and walked up the stairs and right ahead of me in line. And I had to have my gear in a little shopping bag. And they didn't know a damn thing until I stepped on that ledge. And they were like, "Oh my God, you're not going to jump, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And leaped off. And they, "Oh my God, I'm here." And I went off, man. Heard them screaming behind me.
Now, do you have any plans to jump over any more buildings soon? Or jump off the top of any other buildings in town? Or did the authorities tell you not to do it anymore?
They said don't do it anymore. They said don't jump off of any buildings in Cincinnati.
So you're looking at the bridges, aren't you?
No, antennas.
Like that big one up on Winton Road.
Three times.
What else is there to jump on? All there are around here are buildings and bridges.
Well, the bridges aren't that high. You need a pilot chute assist or something. Actually, the only bridge you can really do around here, close to here, is probably West Virginia, which I missed last weekend.
Have you thought about, what, were you out there in West Virginia camping or something?
No, every year they shut the bridge down and have legal base jumping.
Hmm.
And Saturday was my big day to go, but the, you know, cops wouldn't let me have my
gear. You're a real daredevil, huh?
I guess.
How often do you jump out of an airplane?
As much as I possibly can.
How much does it cost to jump out of an airplane? It
costs me $17 to 12,500 feet.
$17?
12,500 feet.
That's not that bad.
If I want to go to 8.5, it's about $12.
How long does the whole experience last from the moment you get on the plane to the moment you hit the turf?
Let's see. The Otter will take 10-15 minutes up and down.
Have you thought about going to any other bigger cities to jump off the some buildings? Like, if you're not allowed to do it here anymore, why not go to Detroit or Chicago or Cleveland?
Columbus has got a great building with an elevator on the outside. I was hoping to get someone to step in the elevator and press the up button, and when I get to the top, just go off and they record from inside the elevator. That'd be a neat video, too.
Why don't you do that?
Well, that's hard, you know, I can get busted again.
So do you know this guy that used to parachute into the Super Bowl and the football games and all? Remember him from about a year or two back?
Yeah, Paul.
Oh, you know him?
Paul Evanall, yeah.
Really? You got his phone number?
No.
Okay, I want you to hook us up with him. Do you know him? Do you know him, or is he just a legend amongst you miscreants?
I've met with him and talked to him before, yeah. He's the guy that jumped in the Super Bowl last year.
And who jumped into Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe fight?
Moron.
A moron.
Don't know him, don't care to.
Why was he a moron, but the guy who jumped into the Super Bowl is cool?
Because he, well, this guy broke his, got his, broke, or his neck broke and got the crap beat out of him for doing it. He's either hit your target and make it, or don't hit your target and look like an idiot, you know?
Well, Riddick Bowe's wife was like 8.5 months pregnant. She passed out. They had to take her to the hospital, and Riddick Bowe got his ass kicked. I think the two events may be related.
I thought she kicked his ass.
No, she passed out, and then the cops all beat up this Sky Jerk.
Yeah, Sky Chunk, right?
Sky Chump. So, Timothy, when you were a kid, were you a big fan of Evel Knievel?
Yeah, actually, I was.
Did you have a little doll?
I think I had the motorcycle where you crank that sucker in, and then it'd go to a certain RPMs, and you'd let the sucker go, and right.
Did you have a lunchbox? Did you have the Evel Knievel lunchbox?
No, I think I had the Brady Bunch or something.
How old are you, Timothy?
I'm 24 years old.
What do you really do for a living? Do you go to school or do you work?
No, not too much. I just kind of do odd jobs here and there for
other
skydivers, you know, help them out.
Okay, next time you jump off a building, can you get a big banner trail behind you that says the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Oh, that'd be a hard one to do.
Hey, have you ever done like James Bond where you've been scanned and skied off the side of a mountain and had a parachute on?
No, but did you hear about the guy that went through Niagara Falls with a jet ski? And his parachute didn't work.
He died. He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, that was my idea, and I'm glad he did it before I got a hold of it. Because I was planning to maybe try that out with a jet ski.
Do you have enough money where you can just wreck a jet ski for a kick?
Well, no.
You have too much money.
You get people involved, and you get just a piece of junk jet ski that, you know, ain't worth much anymore.
When you get sponsors, like your public radio station or something?
Or something like that, yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling us, Tim. We'll talk to you later, and good luck in all your future endeavors.
All right, guys. You take care, man.
Later. The Sky Punk on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number here is 749-1444. If you want to send us fan mail, the address is the Chris and Rob Talk Show, care of WAIF, P.O. Box 6126, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45206. That's Box 6126, zip 45206. Rob and I are going to be here till about 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be filling you in on traffic conditions, weather, sports updates, news, on every 10 minutes, I think. We're going to do it every 10 minutes, Rob?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So stay tuned. We got a lot of good stuff coming up here tonight.
Playing a guy to DeVita. I'm hungry. Is this a real song or is this a song to talk over? Is this a musical bed or is this a break?
A musical bed.
Oh, hi. Late Night Talk Show. We just talked to the Sky Punk. The way you were wrapping it up there, I thought we were kind of going to a break. A big shout out to the last remaining Roy Rogers in the Cincinnati area and the Cafe Nicotine. Now, the Cafe Nicotine is going to hit the airwaves when? November 7th? November 7th, that's a Tuesday night, during this regular time slot that is usually held down by Chris and Rob, the Cafe Nicotine will make a special command performance.
That's in 2 weeks from now, November 7th. Now, looking ahead, next week, next Tuesday is Tuesday, October 31st. It's Halloween, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show will hit the airwaves Halloween night at midnight.
I'm going to talk like this, don't make.
You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to have a veritable spookorama.
Two elders of me.
Guests, frights, ghost stories, spooks, pumpkins. A great pumpkin is going to rise out of the pumpkin patch and make an appearance here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. So you're going to want to tune in next week. Looking ahead next week, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You know what today is?
What it is today?
Today is officially Tony Bennett Day.
All right.
Did you know that?
I think every day is Tony Bennett Day.
In the Big Apple today, he played at Radio City Music Hall, and the mayor, Mayor Giuliani, what's his name?
Rudolph Giuliani.
Rudolph Giuliani declared today as officially Tony Bennett Day in New York City. The performance in New York City celebrating a new album that Tony Bennett just put out called Here's to the Ladies. And it's in stores today. He's won 6 Grammys.
And what, Smarm?
I didn't know
Smarm was a category. And the smarmiest record of 1985. Once again, it was Tony Bennett.
So in honor of officially today being Tony Bennett today, here's a little Tony Bennett on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Eat it up with a spoon.
This is smarmy, too. You're going to like this. 749-1444. Get some calls in. We'll talk to you. Put you on the radio. We are your radio pals. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Solitude, you haunt me, with reveries of days gone by. My solitude, you taunt me with memories that never so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad. In my solitude, I'm back the one I love.
Hey, Rob, happy Tony Bennett Day.
Happy Tony Bennett Day to you too, Chris. I forgot to get you a card.
You know what the official gift of Tony Bennett Day is?
What's that, Rob?
A rug.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
We are your
radio pals.
749-1444. If you want to talk to your radio pal, Chris, or
Rob,
your other radio pal, the phone number is 749-1444.
If we were one of those high-tech people and this was like America Online, you know what it'd cost you to talk to us?
$3 an hour.
But you know what? If we were some kind of sex god, you know what? How much it'd talk to us? Cost
$3.99 a minute.
But we're not.
We're just radio pals.
And it's free. Abso-stinking-lutely free, unless you're out of the local dialing area. Then it, you know, costs you.
Hey, Rob, did you know that our beloved Cincinnati Bengals are in first place? Look here. They're in first place of the worst division
in
NFL history.
You know, I was thinking about that, but
first place.
I decided that pedestrian and bourgeois pastimes such as sports bore me and the audience, so I decided not to talk about sports.
The Bengals are still tied for first place. Or tied for third place, depending on how you look at it.
Yawn.
In this division, they might be tied for third place.
Indeed. How droll. How simple of you.
You
want to
talk about this map they made of the ocean floor?
Yes. Now, I understand they made a map of the ocean floor.
The Scripps Institution of Oceanography and the Walter H.F. Smith of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration developed the most highly detailed map of the ocean floor ever in the history of people. At least in the history of people, not counting, you know, Prince Namor.
The Submariner?
Yeah. Or Patrick Duffy, the man from Atlantis. But they have the most detailed map of the ocean floor. I'd like to see it. I bet it's more detailed than that road map you get at AAA that
you know
shows
what I
you
heard?
How to get around Ohio.
I heard a long time ago the Pacific Ocean wasn't there, and the Earth was flying around really fast. The Earth was spinning really fast, and then a big chunk of rock flew out of the Earth, and it was the moon. And then the Pacific Ocean was formed in the hole.
Is that how it was made, Jim? Really?
That's exactly how it was made.
I thought the moon was just sort of like a separate planet that didn't get quite as big as the rest. It adopted Mother Earth as its foster mother.
I guess that's what they told you in school.
Yeah, that's what they told me in school.
And I guess you believed it. I guess you believed everything they told you in school.
Now, it says here that the scientists who made this highly detailed map of the ocean floor utilized some recently declassified military data. Now, what did the military know about the ocean floor that had to be classified?
Who knows? The military is very loath to declassify anything.
Well, what would the military have an interest in the ocean floor for? I mean, were they going to build, like, a secret A-bomb base down there or something?
Possibly. Exactly.
Oh, they're going to launch some A-bombs from the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, a big channel that goes through the ocean or something.
Is that where they hide the captured UFOs? In the middle of the ocean?
They're in Dayton.
They're in Dayton? Well, then, what I'm asking is, what interest would the military have in classifying information about the topography of the ocean floor?
Now, does anyone actually think that the Bosnian peace talks are taking place in Dayton because Dayton is a convenient and or hip place to hang out? Does anybody think that the leaders of Bosnia and Slovenia and Herzegovina and all those other places you can't pronounce really want to hang out the Canal Street Tavern and hope Mojo Nixon shows up that week? I doubt it. Or, how's this grab you, sports fans? Do you think that perhaps the leaders of Croatia and Serbia and Bosnia want to show up in Dayton to get a look at one particular hangar? Do you think maybe, and I'm not saying this happened, do you think perhaps they all said, hey, Bill Clinton, you want us to quit dropping bombs on each other? You want us to quit killing indiscriminately? You want us to quit raping and pillaging? Do you want us to stop the bloodshed? And Bill Clinton said, yes, I do. And they said, show us the bodies. He knew what bodies they were talking about. They were talking about those 4-foot gray bodies up in Dayton.
This smacks of a conspiracy. This smacks of a conspiracy.
This is just my little theory. I have no proof to back it up, but no one can disprove it, can they?
I'm believing you, Rob.
Has anyone ever disproven it? No.
Does anybody know any better?
No.
Then I don't see why it couldn't be true.
You know, Chris, just when you think the world can't get any more rotten, just when everywhere you turn the world is full of death and destruction and egomaniacal talk show hosts spouting off ill-founded views and weaving these complex conspiracy theories with little, if any, proof to back them up, just when you've had all that you can take and you think the whole world sucks, then it seems like the only bright light that could shine into your dim, dark world is Jonathan Richman. Well, I've got another bright light for all of humanity. There's a fourth grader. What's that make her, 10, 11?
Somewhere in there.
She's fourth grade. Her name is Karen Brockman, and she is from that pearl of the Miami River, that jewel of the great Miami, Hamilton, Ohio. The Nile, the Cairo of...
The Tigris and the Euphrates of Ohio. You got the big Miami and the little Miami. And right in the smack dab in the middle, you got Hamilton.
Carolyn Brock.
The Garden of Eden of Ohio. See what I'm getting at?
That's where you're saying that's where civilization started, was in Hamilton?
Uh-huh.
A certain kind of civilization, perhaps. Carolyn Brockman is a fourth grader at Lincoln Elementary School, and I've been to that elementary school, and I never want to go back. I got out of there with my life, and I never want to go back. Anyway, this young lady, Carolyn Brockman, fourth grade, found 200 dolos.
Dolos?
200 donuts.
Donuts?
200 big ones.
Big ones?
Don't you remember Steve Martin and the jerk when he's trying to cash that check? And he's like, what?
You mean she found how many dollars? She found money?
She found, yeah.
Greenbacks?
It was actually money.
She found greenbacks.
No, a Dunkin' Donuts truck flipped over.
I was going to say, maybe there was a Hamilton police convention nearby.
No, she found $200.
Up there in the cradle of civilization.
It was the proceeds from a fundraiser at nearby Wilson Junior High. And Ms. Brockman turned the money over. She turned the money over. She found the money with her mom, so that might have had something to do with it. They found the envelope full of money, $200, on the hood of a car as they rushed to leave for school in the morning and work. And this is what the mom said. I was in a hurry to get to work. That's my mom voice.
I was in a hurry to get to work.
You was in a hurry.
I noticed an envelope on the hood of my car. I was in a hurry. I gave it to my daughter and asked her to give it to her teacher.
I can hardly tell what you're saying when you use that voice, Rob.
That's what it's like in Hamilton every day. You'll work at a gas station or something there.
Fill up. Can I have two packs of Pall Mells? What? What?
So what eventually happened to this money, Rob?
Can I get two packs of Pall Mells?
So mom and the daughter found the money. What'd they do with it?
I say, you mean Pall Mall? Because I used to work at a gas station. They said, I need two packs of Pall Mall. You mean Pall Mall?
Pall Mall.
You mean Pall Mall? That's an A. P-A-L-L. How do you say that word?
Pal.
Pal. Okay, pal. How do you say M-A-L-L? Mal.
Mal.
Pal
Mal. Pal Mal.
Pal Mal's okay, but how do you get Pell?
Two packs of Pall Mall. And a pack of basic menthol.
You're 100. Saying it should be Pall Mall.
I'm saying... You want some Pall Malls? And how about a lozenge? Well, anyway, I don't know Karen Brockman. So maybe she talked not as fluently and as articulately as I, but in the same ballpark. So anyway, she turned in the money. And Bruner, this guy named Bruner, who is the principal at Lincoln, was so impressed by the pupil's honesty. This, by the way, is from a journal, a journal news article.
Okay.
The Journal News, known as...
The Hamilton Journal News.
Known as the London Economist of the Miami River.
Okay. Up there in the cradle of civilization.
Bruner was so impressed by his pupil's honesty that he awarded her homeroom banner of the week. And behavior, or most notably, whatever. He gave her something. And this is what he said.
We usually don't do that because of an individual's performance,
But Beth was so warming that I had the whole classroom had reason to be proud.
That's the way most principals talk in Hamilton, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're stupid, pinched, small-minded, anal retentive jerks who like to boss around little bitty kids. That's why they're elementary school principals. If they're perverts and creeps, they move up to the junior high and especially the high school level if they're more of the perverted, creepy kind.
Okay.
If they're junior high principals, they mostly just get off on hitting young, firm male bottoms with a big wood paddle.
And if they're male pedophiles, they just become priests.
Exactly. But that's your schooling, not mine.
Okay.
That's your upbringing. Okay, so anyway, they turned the money in, and I don't know what the hell they did. They did something nice to her. There's a picture of her.
So you're saying she turned the money in instead of going out and buying a new Nintendo?
Well, the first thing I thought of was like, Hamilton kid finds $200. I thought, oh, God. Hamilton kid finds some crack dealer's money, takes it and buys a new Nintendo with it, and catches a bullet in the back of her head for the trouble.
Aw.
That's not how it happened at all, though. Wilson Junior High was having a fundraiser. What ne'er-do-well or delinquent did they give $200 to who left it on the hood of a car?
Freak.
Those West Side kids know nothing.
Did you ever leave a drink on the hood of your car, drive down the street, and realize you don't have your drink, and you think, dang, I left on the hood of my car?
No, but I did do a...
And it's still up there, and it hasn't spilled yet? You drove 3 blocks?
Have you ever done a late-night talk show, and then been driving like 2 blocks away from the station, you heard a crash, and the fan, the electric fan that you had on the hood of your car had fallen off? Have you ever done that?
Yep.
Yeah, I think you were with me when I did that, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
But I blame you for that. Or Jim. Yeah, I have done that before, but I've never, you know, if you're carrying two, you know, I'm a pretty much a mature, responsible adult who, since I hit the lotto 5 years ago, I'm independently wealthy. I'm usually walking around with $300-$400 on me.
While we're talking about the cradle of civilization up there in Hamilton, I want to talk about the Egyptian pharaohs for a minute.
Go ahead. Oh, that's what this Egyptian music was about.
Hey, you get
and
it?
I talk so darn long,
like
the music about wore out.
We're going to talk about Egyptian pharaohs here for a minute. 749-1444, that's the phone number. If you got
could've
some information on Egyptian pharaohs, or if you ever found some money and turned it back in, or kept it and spent it, we want to know about it. 749-1444. Now, you know the Egyptian pharaohs, they were considered to be gods after they died.
Now, is it pharaoh or pharaoh?
Is it pharaoh or pharaoh? I don't know. We'll find
Pharaoh
out.
Pharaoh was the chick in the first King Kong movie, right?
Was it?
No, it was Pharaoh.
I thought that was Faye Ray.
Oh. I was making a Chris-ish joke.
Okay, Faye Ray. Okay.
That was humor in
Oh, I get it. I wish I had a laugh track. I just hit the button. We'd have a little applause.
That was Chris-esque humor.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you know, Letterman-esque humor.
Well, if I was doing some Rob-esque humor, I'd just go, give me some Paul Malls. Okay, so these Egyptian pharaohs, right, they were considered to be gods after they died. So they built for themselves very luxurious tomes inside of pyramids. They had all their personal belongings with them.
What's a tome?
A tome.
A long poem?
A tomb. Tomb.
Oh, a tomb? I thought they'd do like a long book or something with them. I'm sorry.
That's all right. The puns are flying fast and furious here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444 is the phone number. So these guys filled their tombs with all their beloved artifacts, you know?
Dude, I know that. I've seen The Exorcist.
They got a picture of Farrah Fawcett on the wall next to their casket.
The one with the nipple?
Some chocolate cake, maybe.
The nipple shot Farrah?
And their Elvis.
I get it, Farrah. That's what made you think of that, isn't it?
Well, there were a couple of guys. Their names were Ehi and Hetep. And they served under a pharaoh, Amenhotep the First. I know I'm not pronouncing Amenhotep right, but it looks like Amenhotep. So Ehi and Hetep worked for Pharaoh Amenhotep, and he was... can't help
you
it.
You sound like you have asthma. And Amenhotep, and Hamad.
So Ehi and Hetep worked for the Pharaoh Amenhotep.
What, is this like an Egyptian farmer?
From about 1991 to 1962 B.C. And their job was to keep alive the memory of the Pharaoh Teti, who lived 300 years earlier than that.
What a job.
These two guys, Ehi and Hetep, they wanted to be gods after they died, too.
Who doesn't?
So, they snuck into the Pharaoh Teti's pyramid and built themselves, they tunneled in secret and built themselves a couple of little tombs of their own, put some of their own personal stuff in them, and they were recently excavated, but they weren't real pharaohs, they were just Ehi and Hetep. Couple of...
dolts. Couple of temp workers.
Couple of temp workers that worked for Amenhotep the First.
The Cairo Olston. The Cairo Manpower. sends over a tap and a half.
Let's go to the phone, 749-1444. Hello, Bart, you're on the air with Chris.
And Rob.
Howdy, fellas.
Hi, Bart.
Howdy,
how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good
guys?
To talk to you.
I was just digging out my American Heritage Dictionary when you guys had your little grammar problem with the word pharaoh. Well,
yeah.
I looked it up, and according to the pronunciation key, it can be pronounced either pharaoh or pharaoh.
Now, is that either or either?
Hold on. Let me look it up.
And how do you pronounce P-A-L-L?
Is that pal or Paul?
Or pal. Pal.
Give me a second, I can get to P-A-L-L.
That's like saying that in a great fright, my face became pallid and pal. Squalid and pal.
One smart fellow, pal. He felt smart.
Pal.
Pal.
Pronounced P-O with a little triangle-looking thing over the top of the O and an L.
Like a
pal.
So it's Paul.
Bart, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Do you want to be a god after you die?
Oh, let me tell you something.
And what would be the modern-day equivalent to sneaking into the pharaoh's tomb and building your own tome, putting all your personal artifacts in there, having your own god-hooded tome?
Get into the subway system of Cincinnati and drinking a 12-pack of the best.
Or is it tomb?
That's what I was going to say. Sneaking into the bathroom like in Porky's and drilling a hole into the girls' bathroom.
What would you really have to do in contemporary society in order to achieve godhood after your own death?
Be a big-time rock star or movie actor.
Or talk show host.
No, because talk show hosts fade away. They don't burn out like a good rock star or a movie star.
Chief God says, climb to the top of the radio tower on...
And jump off of it with a parachute. If Timothy's still listening, climb up that radio tower on Warner Street on Chickasaw there and jump off with your parachute. Thanks for your call, Bart.
Oh, it was lovely.
Don't touch any of the wires, though, Tim.
One of the greatest art exhibits ever to tour the United States. Is the treasures of Tutankhamun or
King Tut? The boy King
Tut.
How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey?
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia, King Tut.
Now if I had known they'd line up just to see him, I'd take all my money and bought me a museum. Buried with a donkey. He gave his life for tourism. Golden idols. He's an Egyptian.
Made a stoner.
Yay, Steve Martin, yay!
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, we are. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. That's the phone number. We're taking your calls. Chris and Rob are your radio pals. We're taking your calls till 2.
We're also taking your pledges, but we think by now you know what a great station WAIF is, what a great job we do. You know the numbers. 961-8900. You know the reason to give.
What?
Because you need to. Bumper sticker 15, thermo mug 25, t-shirt 35, tote bag 50, 88.3 club. Get it all. Let's talk to who we got up now.
I said the phone number is 749-1444. Let's go to Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Chris. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. Say hello to my co-host, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Kevin.
I called to tell you guys that it's pronounced Pell-Mell, not Pall-Mall.
Hell no, it's not pronounced Pell.
It's pronounced Pell-Mell.
When in the world is an A pronounced Eh?
Because it's the name of a product. They can pronounce it any way they want.
Ah, like Nike.
There you go. It's pronounced Pell-Mell.
In that case, I suggest we change the name of our show to the Chris and Rube Late Night Talk Show.
Right.
Like Sade. S-A-D-E is Sade.
Or it's like Wednesday. How's Wednesday spelled?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. But you don't pronounce it that way.
And Connecticut is spelled Connecticut.
That's right. How about Kalamazoo?
Spelled just like Kalamazoo.
Yeah, you got me on that one. Never mind.
So really, I was being mean to these people by making fun of them.
Yeah, and you were wrong.
I knew the phrase was like, oh, everything was all helter-skelter. Everything was pell-mell.
What convenience store did you work at there? Rob?
I worked at a Coca-Lane.
I've never heard of that.
What? You never heard of Coca-Lane?
I've never been to Hamilton, Ohio.
Well, they have them in Fairfield, too, man.
I've never been to Fairfield.
They have them in Indiana, even. They have them all over. Okay, I have a theoretical question for you, Kevin, because I know you're the man who is... You're basically the all-star.
Yeah.
You know, Roy Rogers has some darn fine food, but if you open up one of the wrappers, there's a circle drawn on the inside of the wrapper that says "Play Sandwich Here."
Does it really?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the people working there?
Oh man, what a bunch of forget it.
Rubes.
That explains it.
Yeah.
That explains.
But anyway,
what was your question for this caller, Rob? You were going to grill him on
totally
something.
Totally theoretical because, you know, I know you work at a higher plane than most of humanity, Kevin.
Wait, Rob, did you say higher plane?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know that you are, your mind cannot be pulled down to earth with these Monday workaday problems, that you work up on an abstract level. Are you with me so far?
Go ahead.
So this is totally theoretical. Let's say, for example, there was a guy, and he was a good guy, a nice guy, a great guy, hardworking guy. But he didn't get along with his boss. His boss was kind of a, you know, kind of a mean guy. Let's just say, for example, that one day, just hypothetically, just let me think. One day, the district manager came into this place. Oh, geez, I don't know what it was. We'll say it's a gas station. And
is it a Coca-Lean?
It could, if you wanted to be sure.
Is it a Coca-Lean in Hamilton, a Coca-Lean in Fairfield, or a Coca-Lean in Indiana?
Well, it does wherever you want it to be.
Well, let's hypothetically say it's a Coca-Cola in Hamilton.
It's a Coca-Cola in Hamilton. We'll say totally hypothetically, and this is not a bit true. So anyway, there's this young, good-looking, hard-working guy, and he's home from college, so he's working at this Coca-Cola, and where'd you say it was? Hamilton. And this, we'll say the guy drove a minivan and had a really bad mustache. Came up and talked to this guy who was brilliant, just a brilliant young man.
The guy that worked there at the
store? The guy worked there for a summer job was a brilliant guy.
He had the mustache.
No, the district manager had the really bad mustache.
Okay, go on.
Did he have food caught in it?
No, it was just really bad. And he said to this brilliant young college student, he said, we'll call the guy,
Rob?
Sure, Rob. If you want to go with Rob,
we'll call him Rube.
He said, okay, Rob, listen, it's Friday night. Which, by the way, as a little side note, we'll say Friday night was the best night to work because that's when everybody and we'll say what town was it? Hamilton came through to get their gas where they went out partying for the weekend.
You mean Hamilton, the cradle of civilization?
We'll say that
right there between the Tigris and the Euphrates of Ohio, the Miami and the Great Miami.
And then say this smart alecky district manager said to the brilliant young college student, "Now listen up, Rob. You don't have to pump any gas tonight. We're going to let you clean the bathrooms tonight. What do you think about that?" And we'll say Rob said something to the effect of, I think it sucks, man. And then we'll say something like, oh, geez, maybe a week went by when Rob showed up to work about 5 minutes after his replacement had got there. Now, if Rob ever should fill out, we'll say, a job application for some sort of other government job, we'll say, maybe, perhaps, And it says, have you ever been fired from any position for any reason? Should Rob include that situation that happened at that gasoline station?
No.
No, he says. Definitely he says, not. No, you're off the hook, Rob.
Who?
How would they know you worked there anyway? Well, I guess they could check tax records. It's a tough one. That's a definite tough one.
And because there's not room for...
Actually, this is what you do. Write down that you quit.
Yeah, tell them you quit your job.
Then. Yeah, they're not going to check up on it.
Well, it's not me. This is totally hypothetical.
Right.
Yeah, well, tell this guy to write down his application he quit from that job. Don't lie and say you never had the job. That guy...
What about you, Kevin? Have you ever been fired from a real job and had to take a job with the government or something and had to fill out an application and then, of course, had to lie?
I've been fired from one job and I don't write it on my application.
Let's hear about it.
I was working at an Uno's Pizzeria.
Which one?
One on Beachmont.
I didn't know they had one on Beachmont.
Beachmont 5 Mile. At the Beachmont Mall.
You got fired from Uno's and now you're giving them a free plug. The one by Beachmont Mall.
Really greasy pizza, by the way.
Okay.
Uno's is terrible.
But anyway, I was 17 years old. We had nothing to do, so my friends and I decided to go to Uno's and see if we could get served.
You didn't make a hash pizza, did you?
No. We just wanted beer. So I went in, ordered a beer. They served it up. And the supervisor came out and fired me. On the spot.
Right in front of God and everybody.
God damn right.
In front of all the customers?
No, he took me in back and fired me. He told me, Kevin, you're a really good worker and everything, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to fire you.
But you're a felon, so I'm going to have to let you go.
He told me I was a felon. He just told me I was fired.
Thanks for your call tonight, Kevin.
See you guys.
Maybe people will talk about that. Maybe
749-1444.
If you'd like to call up and make a pledge, go ahead. If you'd like to call up and tell us about how you got fired or why you got fired or something like that, you know, we can go with that. Okay, let's say here's another hypothetical situation. Totally.
I got fired for putting a bag of garbage in a guy's front seat of his car once.
Where was you working?
I was working at a pizza place.
Springdale?
It was a pizza place in Springdale.
Springdale Music Palace, which is now Hooters?
Yeah, now Hooters. I'd have kept working there, but I just didn't have the tits for it.
Don't you wish you were a lifer now and still...
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'd have benefits and everything.
So anyway, I used to wash dishes there at Bowling Green State University in my heady undergraduate days. And before we went home for winter break, it said you were supposed to sign up for something like 5 shifts the week you got back. Now, you'll back me up on this, Chris. The first week back of any semester, you really don't want to do much work. You basically want to sloth around and drink as much draft beer as you can. Am I right?
Exactly. Scam on babes.
So I signed up for like 1 shift. And I signed up for 2 shifts. I was supposed to sign up for 5. I signed up for 2. I did my 2 shifts. They fired me. Rob, you're supposed to sign up for 5 shifts. We really need everybody. I said, well, I couldn't. I was really busy, you know, because I work at the radio station. I do all kinds of other stuff. Oh, we really need you for 5 shifts, so I'm going to have to let you go. I said, you know, I just got fired from a gas station. Well, no, hold on. That wasn't me. That was somebody else.
That's right.
I said, I just got fired from a gas station 3 months ago. I can't get fired from 2. I can't be fired twice before I'm 22. God, right there we go. She fired. She didn't care. She was heartless.
Hello, Julie. You're on the air. The phone number here is 749-1444. Get those calls in. Julie.
Yeah?
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing?
What's on your mind tonight, Julie?
Not much.
Have you been recently fired from a job?
A couple years ago, I was fired twice for the same job.
How'd you manage that?
Pretty difficult. I don't know. I was working at Subway once. I was about 15, I guess. And I kind of flipped off a customer because she kind of... decided she wanted to have, was it the steak or whatever after we closed, and she wasn't very happy. So I kind of yelled at her, and she got mad.
Hold on. She comes in and says, excuse me, young miss. Perchance may I have one of your world-famous Philly steak and cheese sandwiches? And you said, hey, we're closed.
Kind of, yeah.
And she said, oh, but I'm really hungry, and I would really very much like to have one. And so you said,
No, she walks in, right? We're supposed to put the hot stuff away early.
Right, so it doesn't get salmonella.
Yeah, and we're closing, you know. She comes in, she wants a steak. So I was very polite, you know. I'm like, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. We already put the steaks away, but would you like something else? No, I came in. I want the steaks. You know, so she's, you know, got
the customer's always right.
Oh, no, I know, but, you know, and I wasn't in the mood to do it. So I kind of like, well, I'm sorry, you know. And she's like, well, I want the steaks, and I came in. So I was about to go ready to go out and say, fine, lady, I'll go get your steaks, right? So then she just decides to get mad and walks out the door. And so she's screaming and yelling at my friends who were waiting outside. And she drives by, and I just kind of like flipped her off. And she stopped the car and got out. I'm going to call your manager. And she's going off. And so I got fired.
But did you grab your crotch and go, I got your steak right here?
No.
So how did you get your job back and then get fired again?
Well, let's see. I went back maybe about a year later, and I kind of, like, really needed a job, so I kind of, like, kissed her butt. So I was a good worker.
You must have needed one really bad.
I know. Well, it was a good job, so I was like, let me have my job back. So she's like, oh, okay. So she gave me my job, and I worked for a while. I guess I didn't actually kind of get fired, but she kind of let me go nicely. Because I talked her into hiring some of my friends, and my friends kind of screwed up. And that kind of got me fired. But
doesn't that make you feel bad when you get a friend to work at the same place you do, and your friend turns out to be a dirtbag and you didn't know it?
Yeah. But I got this girl hired. She, let's see, I met her when I was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
And let you know how kind of person she is. At 14 years old, I watched her make cereal for the first time in her life.
Yeah. What now? She makes cereal. You mean poured milk on cereal for the first time at 14?
Yeah, she's never done it before. She put, you know, I questioned her because she put the milk in first and then the cereal.
Just like they do on TV.
Yeah, and I thought that was odd. It's not, oh, why do you do that? She's like, why did I do it wrong? I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, well, this is the first time I've ever done it. I was like, oh my. not the kind of person I think you wanted to have.
I know somebody who is, they were like in their teens, and they thought you were supposed to use hot water to make ice cubes because they locked out impurities or they were.
There's a wives' tale that boiling water will freeze faster.
Yeah, because of steam. That's what I heard.
That's not true.
This is just like, this was just hot water out of a tap. This certainly was by no means boiling. This was maybe, what, 140, 150, whatever it comes out of your tap at. Anyway, thanks for your call, Julie.
Hey, thanks.
Good luck in your future employment. 749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking about job failures. We're talking about pledging to WAIF. And we are talking about honest kids in Hamilton. We're talking about the ocean floor. We're talking about pharaohs and pharaohs.
Do you want to talk about third-party politics? Do you want to talk about independent politics?
I want to talk to Tim first.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on, Tim?
I'm at work.
Where do you work at?
I'm downtown.
What line of work are you in?
I don't really call it work. The hardest thing I do is decide what radio station.
Security guard, huh?
You got it, pal.
Well, all right. You made a good choice tonight, Tim.
Yes.
Have you ever been fired from anything?
Yes.
Let's hear about it.
First job I ever had.
What job was it?
I was a bus boy.
Where at?
This was in Indiana.
Okay. The one restaurant in Indiana, okay.
No, actually it was like half a restaurant.
Well, what kind of a place? Did they serve pizza or steak hoagies or filet mignon?
It was your basic greasy spoon.
Okay.
And I come in one night and they wanted me to wash dishes. And I didn't want to, so I let them stack up and they come in and said, sayonara.
Nobody in Indiana says sayonara.
Yeah, they do. Actually, they quit it because there was too many syllables.
Oh, okay. So that was it? You just walked out?
Right after they fired me.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask Tim if he's a security guard. Are you packing heat?
No.
Why not?
I run fast in the opposite direction.
Are you packing a walkie-talkie?
Yes.
Ooh.
Who's that walkie-talkie connect to?
Another guard.
Oh, cool. Is he packing heat?
No.
Mace?
Is he tuned into the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
No.
What's his first name?
Bill.
Bill? Okay, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah?
Take your walkie-talkie and hold it up next to your radio and then turn it on, and we're going to talk to Bill.
There's just one problem with that.
What's that?
Every time I do that, the radio cuts out.
Oh, you only have one radio going at once, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, well, go down there and physically confront him and tell him to turn us on and call us.
I'll do that.
You do that, Tim.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You too, Tim.
All right.
Lider.
I think it's time for a little zombie music.
Ooh, I thought so, too. It's 10 till 1. Make a pledge during the zombie music.
749-1444.
Silence.
I think that's all the zombie music we're going to hear tonight. What do you think, Rob?
It's a shame.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
The phone number here.
749-1444.
Dial that up. 749-1444. We're taking your calls. I want to talk about Ross Perot here in a little bit. Not exactly Ross Perot, but I want to talk about his party. He's got this third party. They're called the Independent Party or something like that. And they had to score in California today. They had to get all their ballots turned in. Not, what do they call those things? Those petitions. The petition that says you're allowed to form a third party. And California had the first deadline, which was today. And they had to have them all turned in. You know how many they needed? 89,007 signatures. I don't know what they needed that extra 7 for, why it couldn't just be a straight 89,000.
Every state sets it up different, like they'll need so many per congressional district, or some will just say you need so many statewide. I believe every state has it set up different. Did he reach his goal?
Well, we don't know. He says he did, and the experts, the pundits, say that he did not.
Who the hell is a pundit at Ross Perot getting signatures in California?
I don't know, but they're counting them right now, and it'll be a couple weeks till they're done counting. That's how many there are. It takes that long to count them. Hello, Texas. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Texas.
I'm back.
Great.
What you up to tonight?
We're doing a late-night talk show. What are you up to tonight?
Well, I'm just trying to get over getting on a job, trying to vote for the right president to run this country.
Uh-huh. Texas, you're back from where?
I'm back from what you would call. I left you guys that one night when I was talking about computers, remember?
Right, computers.
And I don't know how to work one, and I'm trying to get through with the police.
They're very complex, aren't they?
Yeah, very complex.
Are you a very good typist?
Not that good. You know, I typed about 40 to 30 words a minute.
Well, that's not bad. 30 or 40 words a minute's not bad.
I'll just peck around at the computer.
You're a computer pecker?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a turtle master?
Turtle master?
Yeah.
No, I go real fast. I ain't the kind of guy that takes his time, you
okay.
know?
Okay. All right. So, now that you're back, you're worried about who to vote for president. What do you think of this Colin Powell? Is it Colin or Colin?
I think it's Colin.
I like saying Colin better than saying Colin.
Yeah.
Since tonight's been a big night for pronunciation, I think we'll stick with Colin on that one. So, are you going to vote for Colin Powell if he runs?
I'm probably broke for Perot, man. Get him in there, see what he could do.
I thought the little psycho wasn't going to run. I thought he was going to put up somebody
well,
else.
Well, Greenwood, how's Greenwood? The one guy is all for pot. You ever heard of him?
Galbraith? Gatewood Galbraith?
Greenwood?
Scott Greenwood, the lawyer?
Yeah, the one who was going to vote for pot and put pot legal.
He's just a lawyer from Cincinnati, though. He's not a big wig in that department.
He's
a
big wig, but we need to get him in there or a Perot.
Okay, Scott Greenwood, if you're out there, if you got your ears on tonight.
But Perot's the guy that said he'd go from door to door looking for drugs. So you either want a complete, total fascist who will come to your door looking for drugs, or you want a guy who wants to legalize them. You're pretty broad there, Tex.
Well,
you're bouncing around like a ping pong ball
on
the issue.
You know?
Here's what Ross Perot says. Ross Perot has refused to say whether he'll run as the party's presidential candidate, but that he's looking for a world-class candidate that adheres to the party platform that he has created. Now, Texas, I want you to listen up.
Okay.
These are the platform issues for this new political party, the Perot Party, we'll call it. I think they're calling it the Independence Party or the Reform Party, but we're going to call it the Perot Party.
Okay.
These are his issues. Term limits for Congress. What do you think of that, Texas?
I think it's pretty good.
Okay. Pretty good on that one. Voter-approved tax increases.
Nah,
okay. Ethics.
Pretty good.
I hate ethics. Screw ethics.
But Texas says pretty good.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm against ethics, Chris. I hate ethics. I hate. There's anything I can't say it was ethical politics.
I love ethics.
Lobbying reform in Congress.
Pretty good.
Okay. And a balanced budget amendment, also known as the BBA.
That's crock.
Pretty good.
That's crock.
That's a crock, Rob.
Balanced budget amendment's a crock.
What's such a crock about the balance?
That's
budget?
A crock because you can't have it because you'll have to have loopholes because in time of war or other national emergency you'll have to kind of slither through it. And every time they can't balance a budget, they'll say it's a national emergency. It's a crock. Just balance the damn budget. You don't need to add something to the Constitution. I may be the last American who still holds James Madison and Alexander Hamilton and Gouverneur Morris and the rest of them in high regard, but I do, brother.
Well,
I do hold them in high respect, and I don't want to shred what they worked on there in Philadelphia. in 1784, whenever the hell it was, 1787. 1787 to 1788.
Are you with us, Texas?
Yes, I am.
Got an opinion on any of this?
Yeah.
What's that?
I think we all should raise taxes up so all the black people in Ohio could have a job.
Have you ever been fired from a job, Texas?
Yeah.
Let's hear about it.
I've been fired at the emergency food center helping feed the hungry.
Hold on, is that a volunteer job?
It was a volunteer. I was getting paid 25% of what I made, and I come out with $100-something, so you say about $45 a night.
Okay, so how did you get fired?
I just went in there, and they said I was a demon from hell.
That's kind of hard to explain on the old resume. Reason for leaving, temporarily possessed. We're going to let you go, Tex. I hope everything works out, and please don't cast any spells our way.
I won't, but I got one other thing for you.
Quickly, please.
Okay. What do you call an agency that hires girls and nothing but guys now?
What do you call an agency that hires nothing but girls and nothing but guys?
This is because I got fired. Can I get them for that?
Go ahead. What do you call it?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, I thought this was a joke.
No, this is the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the truth.
Yeah, they're discriminating against the netherworld beings.
Yeah,
hey, Texas, where did you grow up?
They're discriminating.
I said what I did.
What part of town are you from, Texas?
North side.
Okay, that explains a lot. Thanks for calling.
They discriminate against the spawn of Satan.
Northside. Have you ever driven through down Hamilton Avenue through Northside?
Yeah, I think I was looking for Secret Service and I went way too far.
Oh, man.
Golly. Yeah, I drove down all the way down. You know, I'll take Pleasant Avenue, Hamilton Avenue, whatever you want to call it, 127. All the way down.
Northside is beautiful country. That's God's country up there.
It is.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. Say that phone number again, Rob.
It's like Hamilton is Rome. And Northside.
I thought we already discussed this. Hamilton is the cradle of civilization.
Hamilton is Rome.
You know, I got a comment on that Hamilton being the cradle of civilization thing. But we'll get to that later. Hello, Glenn, you're on the air.
Yeah, Hamilton may be the center of civilization, but La Rosa's doesn't deliver out there.
Does
no,
too.
They do?
Does too, you. Yeah, there's somebody's mom listening out.
You guys missed a great show last night, man. Dick Dale.
No, he didn't. Chris was all over that.
Dick Dale rocks. I was there.
Oh, really? Oh,
Dick
man,
Dale
was...
down at Bogart's. He played for 16 hours straight. Nothing but...
Oh, man,
that
was
for 16
a whole lot
hours.
Dick Dale. That's probably the best show I've ever seen, man. That for... How old is he? 58? Man, that dude...
He's about 80.
That dude jams, man.
Dick Dale, the king of surf guitar.
As interviewed on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show a couple months ago.
Yeah, I caught that, man. That was pretty cool.
Cool. What part of town are you calling from tonight, Glenn?
Price Hill.
Price Hill. That's not far from Northside. Have you ever been to Northside?
I don't believe so.
If Hamilton is the cradle of civilization, what does that make Northside, Glenn?
Northside would be the pit of civilization?
The armpit of civilization.
Hamilton's a cradle. So Northside's like the jumper or the walker.
Glenn, are you a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent?
I would probably be an independent. I'd be curious about the Ross Perot, his party, but I don't really know much about it. Can you guys fill me in a bit?
Can we fill him in a bit? Ross is short, he's crazy, and he's saying, yeah, a lot. Now.
What about Colin Powell?
I think you got to be careful if you call yourself an independent. Are you truly an independent, or do you just lean a little to the left or a little to the right? Are you just kind of Republican or kind of Democrat? Because you know it is very chic to call yourself an independent in the 90s, especially if you're an upper middle class elite.
Freak out.
I think that we should have...
They freak.
We should have a choice to vote for more than just two parties. There should be... If it were truly a
well,
democracy.
we should have an infinite number of candidates to choose
from.
How many should we be able to choose from?
At least 100.
Okay, who's going to count those votes?
Take a while, but
if 100 people ran for president,
democracy in the 90s. How about democracy for 2000? We'll get 100 independent parties, all running for just all kinds of different issues and. Man, it would just be great. America.
100 parties would be too hard for the special interest to control, so they'll never let it happen.
Exactly. Well, that's where the corruption lies.
The big money boys will never let 100 parties get formed. We'll never be like Italy, where you go into a ballot box, where they go into vote and they hand you a ballot that's as long as your leg.
But we, the little people, need to rise up. And we need to fight the system and stuff.
Fight the powers that be, man.
Heck yeah.
You ever been fired from a job, Glenn?
Yes, I have.
Let's hear about it.
I was just lazy, never showed up for work.
Where was this at?
Firestone.
Why didn't you like working at Firestone?
I liked it. I was only about 15 at the time.
Which Firestone was it?
It was a Brogan and Foltz.
Mm.
Oh, that was you, man. That was you that fixed my car that day.
That was a tire changer, and yeah, it was good work and everything. But I was only 15 years old, and you get up there, and you're subjected to the elements, and you get out there and...